Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. Later this month, I'm hosting a new free webinar titled 4 Ways to Make EdTech Easier and 4 Favorite EdTech Tools. If you want to be the first to know about this free webinar, head over to my website, classtechtips.com, and sign up for my newsletter. You'll see a big button right there on the homepage. Hope you'll join me for this free webinar at the end of October. This week's episode is titled Taking the First Steps into STEAM with Janine Flores, and I'm so excited to have her on the podcast today. She shares all about what to do and where to go if you're considering bringing STEAM into your work this year. Janine is the Arts and STEAM Coordinator at the Los Angeles County Office of Education and on the Center for Distance and Online Learning team. She has a wonderful perspective on this topic, and in this episode, you'll hear her talk about her experience and some great project ideas too. It's super actionable, and if you're listening in, you'll want to make sure to check out the show notes by going to classtechtips.com/podcast, where you can connect with her and find the resources we're going to talk about in this episode. Let's go ahead and dive in. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast today. I want to just jump right in, and I'm hoping that you can share with listeners. I gave them a little bit about your background already, but share with them what is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like? And kind of let us know what you are up to.
Thank you, Monica. It's great to be here. So I am the Arts and STEAM Coordinator for the Los Angeles County Office of Education, and my position is actually in the Center for Distance and Online Learning. We call that CDAL, and that is a part of Curriculum and Instructional Services. So I'm a coordinator, and I coordinate things. So my day-to-day varies drastically, but it's also very engaging and fun for me. But I'm building relationships with our partners across the county and the state. We're supporting schools at the systems level and developing content for teachers, administrators, and state leaders. And in our department, we're really focused on something called collective impact, like how do we achieve a goal with many different people and voices. So we do that very well here in LA County. And we have partners here in the county, in the city, as well as across the state to make sure that we have arts education and STEAM education for all of our students.
That's wonderful, right? This idea of collective impact is so important when you are working with so many different organizations and kind of looking at the ways that things come together. And so, you know, this idea of working with arts and STEAM is something that I'm hoping we can talk about today, right? Helping people really take those first steps into STEAM. But before we jump into that piece, can you share with us a bit about your experience and work around STEAM in general, just to give us some context there?
Yeah, sure. prior to my position at LA County Office of Education, I was actually at the Santa Clara County Office of Education, which is in San Jose, California. It's a Silicon Valley tech capital of the world. And I was the A in STEAM. We had a STEAM team there. We had a science coordinator, a math coordinator, a CTE coordinator. So I was the A in STEAM. And my job was really to bring that arts integration lens into our work. And we worked a lot collaboratively as a team. And that's the same work I'm doing at Los Angeles, is really focused on that A in STEAM. And what does that look like? And how is that different than STEM education? And so arts integration is teaching an art subject like visual arts or dance alongside another content area, whether it be math or science or English language arts. And that they're both the English class and the dance class, let's say, are being taught with the same fidelity, that the standards are being addressed and students are being assessed properly in both. And that's what arts integration is. And we feel like that's our first step into STEAM is arts integration, because we're bringing two subjects together. STEAM brings more subjects together in a more process and a problem-solving way.
Well, I love that idea. And it's interesting to think of, right, you having the A role, right? Anytime we think of an acronym, sometimes, right, breaking down those different components, but having that arts role and thinking about integration there as opposed to, say, a standalone part of the day, which sometimes is, and I'm sure, you know, you can attest to this much more than I can, right, just from my classroom experience and visiting different schools and working with different schools and districts, right? Sometimes that feels as a its own separate thing. It's not really thoughtfully integrated into the work that everyone's doing. So when you mentioned that idea of, right, a dance class example, being taught with that same fidelity, having standards and expectations and all the components that go along with it, you know, I'm interested to hear, you know, what it looks like for someone to take really the first steps right into this, because I imagine, you know, from your work, you're kind of deep into this, you have thought so much about what the integration looks like, and especially with that collective impact that you spoke about among different systems and different stakeholders. But if someone's, you know, thinking of this term STEAM for the first time, really, or revisiting it this school year, what would you recommend that they try out or consider using in their school or classroom if this is really their first steps into STEAM?
Sure. Well, I wrote down a couple of things, and they're all over the map, Monica. So I'm just going to go with what I wrote down. This is in no particular order, but I think these are, it depending on where you're coming from and how much knowledge you have or expertise, these might be good. Wow. So regionally here in LA County, we have a program called TEAL, Technology Enhanced Arts Learning. And that's run through our CEDAW office here where I work. And it's an arts integration professional development that's blended. So we have an online course that you can walk through self-paced 24/7, arts integration through all the arts components, plus social emotional learning, plus STEAM. And then we also have face-to-face instruction with the teachers. This year, it's going to be virtual, of course. So our audience will be opening up for that. And that's going to give you some really practical skills, first level skills to go through that.
For that first idea, I can ask you, so I love having, you know, regional partnerships. So if folks are near you, right, in LA County, right, they have that TEAL to lean into. And if someone is maybe in a different area, you know, I know here up in New York where I am, BOCES is one of the big regional centers that does a lot of kind of trainings and pulls people in from different spaces. So, you know, that first step that you, or first idea for a first step of kind of leaning into your regional network, seeing what kind of trainings they're doing and thinking about what other partners might be not in your home base, but, you know, in your region, I think is awesome. So that's a great first one. Yeah. What's your next one for someone? Yeah,
I guess that's a learner in me, right? I'm like, oh, I'm really interested in this. Where can I go to get more information? Right. Mm-hmm. And my second idea is more classroom focused. So maybe I'm going to teach a math lesson, and I really know there's a tight connection to science in this one. So maybe I reach out to my science teacher, say, hey, you know, I'm teaching this math lesson. These are my standards. And I think it aligns here. Can you help me develop this? And maybe we could collaborate. Maybe there's the lesson being taught in the science classroom and a math lesson being taught in the math classroom, but maybe they're coming together, either co-teaching or co-developing a lesson that's complementary. And that's a good first step. And maybe you are also bringing in the visual arts and there's an art component to the science and math lesson. And just using your teacher prep time or your collaboration time wisely to try some new things. And that's a great first step into STEAM at a very local level.
Yeah. And just that idea that, you know, I know, right, it can be overwhelming to feel like you need to know all the things, right? Or know all the standards that a student in your class, especially if you're teaching a specific subject area, you know, you might not know, right, what that exact math standard is or what it is that they're doing in art. And so this idea that you kind of utilize that planning time with a different lens. So maybe not someone who's teaching the same thing as you, which is kind of how we normally fall into our planning mode. Right? Like, where's that other biology teacher or where's that other person? But maybe someone who your kids also see over the course of the day. And so that idea of co-teaching is really great too, because I think sometimes we're so focused on the planning, but, you know, do you have any, you know, fun co-teaching stories to share or anything that might illustrate what that looks like?
Yeah, sure. When I was up in Santa Clara, my math colleague was Jenny Chang and she was brand new to our team. And I'm like, hey, we should do something together. Let's do a math and music lesson. She's like, okay. So, and her process and approach to developing a lesson is totally different than mine as a music educator. And I found it fascinating. So we developed this lesson that was for grades 1 through 3. And it was about fractions. And for music, that relates to note values. So we had students composing rhythms and performing rhythms and learning fractions in a very physical and auditory way. And so her process and my process merging were great. We actually presented it at the STEAM Symposium here in California. And yeah, it was a wonderful experience. We got to go in the classroom and teach first graders the lesson and walk through it, make sure it works and see where we had some things that we could smooth out or where we need to take more time for things that we could speed up a little bit.
That's a great example, especially, you know, I've taught fractions to fifth graders for a long time. And I, you know, I don't consider myself being particularly musical, right? So for me, that idea of fractions, like I get it now that you're saying it, but I don't know that I would have thought that way. So what a great example of partnering with someone who's going to think.
Monica, do you remember the fraction wall?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
So in music, we have a rhythm wall or rhythm tree, and it's parallel to the math. So once kids see that, sometimes that's the connection or the aha moment to understand fractions, because that's a hard concept for many of our students, right?
Yeah, and I would imagine it goes both ways too, right? For your students who might be more analytical, but might not necessarily feel like they have confidence in a music classroom, right? If they can kind of make those connections in the other direction too, right? It probably helps them, you know, find this other area that they might have been dismissive of or kind of thought wasn't for them. So I love that. And I love that, you know, you were collaborating with someone who just thought differently about planning too, because I think there's so much that we can learn from colleagues in those ways too, that might be not even content related, but just, you know, what is your process? What is your system, right, for making things happen? Awesome.
And the last tip I'll share for first steps in STEAM would be just attending a STEAM conference in your area. Here in California, we have a statewide one called the STEAM Symposium, and it'll be virtual this year. It's in December, so if you want to sign up, come on over. And there are many different sessions, and they're all at different levels. So it's a good way to have like the taster plate of STEAM education. You can see, oh, well, here's microspaces and here's coding. And over here we have robotics, and you can kind of get a whole big picture of what STEAM could be. Mm-hmm. And if you go as a team and you guys kind of like divide and conquer the sessions, or you're really focused on one particular path, it's a great way to build community, get some partnerships going possibly, and just get that first step into STEAM.
I love that. Having all of those components happen virtually now. You know, I was on the phone this morning talking to someone organizing a conference in Maryland. And, you know, I've been to that conference a couple times. And, you know, one of their goals is to open up the doors this year, right? And let people, it's their state conference, but they don't mind if someone jumps in on Zoom who doesn't live in Maryland, right? And so, you know, those kind of conferences, even if we're looking at a regional lens, right, you might build a community with someone who happens to be nearby, or you might jump onto an event that's happening with someone who's in another part of the country, you know, or another part of the world. So yeah, it's interesting to think about how, you know, despite all, and I don't want to minimize, right, our current environment or challenges by any means, but, you know, having these additional virtual events are a great way to take a first step into something, especially if you might feel intimidated going to an event that is out of your comfort zone, or walking into a conference room, right, and sitting next to someone and not really knowing a lot about that topic. I think it's another way to say, like, okay, I'm ready for this, or I can jump into this, even if it might not be something that I would, you know, drive down to like I would have in the past.
Mm-hmm. True. I agree.
So, you know, we're talking today about these first steps into STEAM, and you shared, you know, getting connected to regional groups and thinking about events, you know, virtual face-to-face and partnering with someone in your school, you know, but one of the questions I often get, or, you know, I'm seeing come up, what's the big difference between STEM and STEAM, right? There's the extra layer in there. Yes, we're, you know, we have the A in on that, but what does that really look like for a school that's, you know, maybe deciding between where their commitments lie or what they want a program to look like? You know, what is the, maybe the difference between the two, and even some of the benefits of having that A in the acronym?
Yeah. Well, STEM doesn't include the arts, basically, right? STEAM includes the arts. And the arts is what brings creativity, complex problem solving, and collaboration to the STEM world. So in visual arts, we have the studio habits of mind. And that really works well with the scientific process, as well as the engineering design process. And as an arts person, we're constantly having to think outside the box and think, how does this relate to me? Or it's just part of the process. It doesn't matter if you're a theater person, a dance musician, graphic designer, we're always coming up with creative ways. And it's just the way that I think part of it is the brain, how the brain is wired. Mm-hmm. So even when I was in a teacher training program, or, you know, at the district level and getting my PD, I had to go to the PD with everybody else, right? And they were all content specialists. And I always had to go in and say, okay, how does this relate to me? Because very rarely did I get training in music pedagogy, right? So I was a music teacher for 19 years. So I always had to think about, okay, what is the big message here? How does this work for me? And our students are learning that creativity and flexibility of thinking. And that is going to be the key factor for their job in the future, right? Is that creativity, flexibility, and being able to communicate within a team, right? That, and I think that's what the arts bring to STEAM or STEM.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I love that, because, you know, when we talk about that A or the arts piece, right, sometimes we don't include that part of the conversation, the visual communications, the ability to collaborate in teams and in different spaces. And especially now, I think, you know, where we're shifting a lot of that kind of work, right, all of us, right, students and adults, right, into digital spaces, maybe not entirely, but definitely more than before. You know, those are these, you know, extra layer of things that aren't soft skills. They're all the skills that we need in order to be successful. So I think there's a huge reason to consider, you know, why don't we include that A, or why we should revisit an initiative, or if we're starting something new, really, you know, including that piece. So, you know, not to add another acronym to our list, but I know you and I were chatting earlier this month about some things and talking about social emotional learning, right? And SEL. And I know that's been an area that I've been thinking about when it relates to being inside of this technology space. And I'm not the only person, right, with SEL on the mind. So can you share with us a little bit, when talking about STEAM, you know, where does SEL or social emotional learning really come into the equation?
I think SEL is hugely important right now, as a lot of students are distance learning, and we need to check in and see how we're feeling and be able to respond to that and just make sure our kids are okay. So that's first and foremost. But in the STEAM lens, I would say it's important because a lot of the projects in STEAM are collaborative. They're project-based learning or problem-based learning. And you need to be able to address your social awareness, your relationship skills. And you also have to manage yourself, right? How am I going to respond when I keep getting cut off when we're doing our brainstorming? Or what's the best decision I can make at this time? And so our students just need to be able to use all the aspects, all five core competencies of social emotional learning in a STEAM classroom. Hopefully in every classroom, but in STEAM especially, because the learning looks different and it's more active and engaged.
Yeah, and that idea of having kids, right, working together and saying, you know, it's okay that I compromised, or I'm ready to evaluate someone else's work, or take that feedback that someone has given me that maybe doesn't feel great right now, but I need to respond, right, and work with. So, you know, when kids are designing or making things, I can really see, you know, an anchoring in those SEL components, you know, being important, right, for everyone to consider. And of course, you're right, you know, it doesn't have to be just in a STEAM classroom, but, you know, I would imagine with different activities that either you've helped facilitate or you've seen in action that, you know, that idea of SEL, right, really has been kind of high on the list. And so, you know, thinking about student activity suggestions, are there any things that you would, you know, like to share, great activities that you've done or been a part of, or maybe again, coming back to this idea of someone taking a first step, you know, is there a good student activity you would suggest them trying out to get started with this concept?
The most successful ones that I've seen, Monica, are when students are identifying a problem to solve in their community. That might be the community of their classroom, their school, or their neighborhood. And they come up with a plan or some prototypes to solve the problem. They have buy-in. They're super excited and creative about finding different ways. That might seem really big to a teacher, like I'm going to run with a project-based learning, but the kids are engaged and the teachers have the growth mindset that they're going to learn with along with the children is a great way to go. And another way to do this is also think about maybe just bringing in the arts and doing that arts integration as a first step. And what are the standards that I'm looking at, the National Core Arts Standards of creating, presenting, responding, and connecting, and how can I bring that into one other subject area? And maybe that's the way you start, right? You're just doing two subjects. Then maybe the next time you do three subjects and you're collaborating with some of your colleagues on campus.
Yeah. And that connection to the National Core Arts Standards is great. And I'll make sure to link to that in the podcast show notes for folks too, because, you know, I think sometimes trying something new, right? Even just validating, you know, this idea that I was planning on having the kids present, like this counts, but how can I now be even more strategic about it? So I love that idea of the creating, presenting, responding, and connecting, because it might be happening in certain classrooms in one capacity, but even just dialing that up a bit, right, could really take it up to that next level. So that would be a great first step for someone to reflect on too.
Yeah. And just adding that to your rubric. Maybe it's just one line of the rubric, you know, when the kids are sharing their pitch, mm-hmm. right, on their project, and that they're projecting. Yeah, that's a theater standard, and that they're using the language and they're following the script and everybody mm-hmm. participates, you know, whatever that criteria is, either created by the teacher or the students.
Yeah. And right. Bringing students into that equation too, to say, what would this look like in an ideal world? Or what are we striving for is great too. And, you know, I know that you were part of a Soundtrap event and Tim Needles was actually on the podcast earlier this spring. I connected with him and talked to him a little bit about his book through ISTE. So I'll make sure to link to that too, but I'd love to hear a little bit about that event and what it was like to be a part of it, what you talked about, maybe that conversation with Tim you want to share a little bit about as well?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Tim Needles and I, we follow each other on social media. So I was really fangirl over him. And I have his book. I read it. It's an easy read, but it's practical. And that's another great way to get involved in this STEAM is pick up his book. You know, it's available through ISTE. And Tim's just a gracious man and such an artist. He brings STEAM to a whole nother level with the arts. And I love that. So it was great to have a conversation with him and our host, Matt Miller, around arts and STEAM. And we just had a great conversation. I was thrilled to be a part of it. And we talked about his book. We talked about how the arts are so important to the STEAM world. And I was just so glad to be a part of it and share about student voices. And that's a real passion point too, right? Their voice, their world was the theme. And Soundtrap's such a wonderful platform to create music or create a podcast. And students have a lot to say. And they will definitely use the tools to do it, right? They're doing it right now without any training. So imagine if they had training and were standards-based, it's going to be a whole nother level. It might even be a career for some of them, you know?
Right. Especially now when we think of, right, careers of, you know, the now, it's not even careers of the future anymore. Right? Things have shifted so greatly in the past few years into what creation and sharing looks like. And so I think, not to be too cliche, but this kind of now more than ever, right, is the feeling that I get when we talk about this conversation today around STEAM and making sure that that A is front and center. And people know that taking those first steps, right, doesn't have to be as intimidating, right, as it might seem. So I really appreciate you giving us so many actionable tips and resources to explore today. So where can listeners connect with you and learn more about your work?
Sure. Well, I have had a blast being with you here today, Monica. Most people find me on the social media. I am at Vapa Janine. That's V-A-P-A Jean 9. How do you spell my name? There's three N's total on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We have a weekly chat on Twitter on the CA Arts Ed chat at 4 o'clock Pacific time, where we talk about arts education. And, you know, you can also find me on the Los Angeles County Office of Education websites, either through TEAL or through the Visual and Performing Arts. Those are the best places to find me.
Well, thank you so much for being here on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. Yes, go STEAM. I can't wait to hear what everybody's doing. I hope they'll reach out and we can connect.
Love it. I'm so glad Janine could join me on the podcast today. And just like every episode, let's go ahead and finish up by making this EdTech easy. First, reflect at where you are right now when it comes to STEAM. Then, locate a partner or take a step to find one. Next, review an upcoming activity or unit to see where STEAM fits in. And finally, integrate with purpose and see if you can make a standards connection. Make sure to head over to the show notes for today's episode, classtechtips.com/podcast, to learn more about Janine, her work, and the resources we talked about today. I linked a couple of them right here in the Apple Podcast or iTunes description, or if you're listening on Spotify, you'll see some links to click on too. Later this month, I'm hosting a new free webinar titled 4 Ways to Make EdTech Easier and 4 Favorite EdTech Tools. It's a spin on a webinar I did this past summer, updated with more ideas and resources for traditional classrooms, hybrid learning classrooms, and distance learning classrooms. If you want to be the first to know about this free webinar, head over to my website, classtechtips.com, and sign up for my newsletter. You'll see a big button right there on the homepage. Hope you'll join me for this free webinar at the end of October. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. Even adding a few stars instead of writing a whole review can make a big difference with helping other educators find this podcast when they're searching for resources in their favorite podcast app. Of course, if you'd like to stay connected, follow at ClassTechTips, that's me, on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and now support organizations remotely with webinars and virtual professional learning. So if your organization is in need of any type of PD, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.